Welcome to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of warriors.
Indeedy-do. It's Saturday. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzing's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France over that way.
Diddly me.
And in Los Angeles, our good friend Todd Roberts.
It be the truth. It be the truth.
Our guest today is Brian Downs. He's the executive director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum in, where is it?
Winterset, Iowa.
And, hey, this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to this. But you got some stuff to start, Bunker?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, coming from Bunker's Bunkhouse on June 17th of this year is the latest edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Bovine.
Except today is the 14th.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, the 17th is where I end up the show. Okay. That's okay. Anyhow, starting with today with the 14th, as Harry so gracefully reminded me, I'm going to go back 3 days in history and 3 days into the future.
Okay.
And the 3 days are not going to be any particular year. So anyhow, we're going to start out with June 11th, 1517. That's a long time ago. British Admiral Sir Thomas Pert reaches Hudson Bay. And that's kind of interesting to me because you realize that I believe that is the largest lake in the world.
That I do not know.
It's bigger than some seas.
Yeah, it could be. I truly don't know.
The waterways, you know, if you lived up there back in those days, the only way you could get around was a boat. And there was like literally hundreds of thousands of miles of streams, rivers, bogs,
yeah,
and whatever.
The St. Lawrence was the main causeway.
Tributary, yeah. Anyhow, and if you guys got anything you want to jump in on, comment on any of these days, you go right ahead. Now, on the 12th of June in 1665, England installs a municipal government in New York City. And that was one of the biggest mistakes to start a government in New York City. It's gone downhill ever since. On the 13th in 1944, the first deployment of a V-1 flying bomb by Nazi Germany marked a new generation and era in warfare. Okay, now 14th, that's today.
You forgot an important thing for June 13th.
What was that?
Ben Johnson's birthday.
Oh, my God, yes. Uncle Ben. One of the greatest cowboys, one of the greatest ropers, and one of the most fine actors in movies and whatever. Anyhow, the 14th, this is Flag Day. It was adopted to honor the U.S. flag in 1777 by the Continental Congress. It's also the 250th birthday of the American Army.
Hoo-ha!
Hoo-ha! And it's also Mr. Trump's birthday.
It is.
So happy birthday, Trumpy. I like the dude. He's kind of ornery and feisty. Now, moving into the future, the 15th of June, 1926, one of my mentors and a good friend, or a close friend, I don't know, any friend anyway, Bill Ketching, the stuntman, stunt coordinator, second unit director, actor, and he worked with Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, and then just moved on up from there.
Wow.
God, what a stunt man. On the 16th of June in 1624, Virginia becomes an English crown colony. And the reason it is because the London Company, which had been financing it, went bankrupt.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, even today. Yeah, anyhow. And then we're going to finish up this week in history with 1756, the Battle of Bunker Hill. And no, it wasn't named after me, Harry. It was the first major battle of the American Revolution. And it was I recommend, if you like art, look up paintings on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the most fascinating series of paintings of Americana. I mean, it just blows your way.
You sure it wasn't named after you?
Well, it could be. And now I'm going to finish. I know I'm taking a little extra time, but because of Todd, last week, he said, you guys have got to go see The Last Rodeo.
Oh, yeah.
And I did. Todd, thank you so very much, because that is a fantastic movie. It's a family movie. It's also an old-fashioned movie, the kind that we like to talk about. Wholesome, great acting, great action, and it, you know, you can take the kids and grandma, anybody else you know to it, and I guarantee you they're going to enjoy it.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
All right, welcome.
I'm glad you liked it.
All right, welcoming Brian Downs, Executive Director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum. Brian, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for your Facebook post. That was very, you hit the nail on the head. It was great.
Thank you so much. Before you got involved in this, we know you were from Chicago and near Wrigley Field, go Cubbies. And we know that you worked, you were a newspaper man there in Chicago. Which who'd you work for, the Trib?
I was at the Chicago Tribune from 1973 until 2008, so 35
Ooh,
years.
That's a career.
Wow, yeah. And you wrote about the West, is that correct, mostly as a columnist?
Well, I didn't start out, I started out as administration, working in the newsroom, the mechanics of a big newspaper, because just the newsroom alone had 600 people.
Yeah.
They needed to be paid, they needed equipment purchases, that's it. I guess the common term would be office manager.
Yeah.
But I was given an opportunity around 1990 to write. It was just kind of gifted to me. I came back from vacation in Ireland and mentioned a newspaper story about John Wayne and the Quiet Man, and mm-hmm. everything took off from there. That's when the good things started happening.
And so you sent I don't think we had email then, but you sent a letter to John Wayne seeking an interview, and he responded positively on that.
He did. I think I waited 6 weeks for a reply, and a reply I'd never guessed I'd even get. And yeah, I said, and it was, I thought it might be kind of a press conference situation, but no, it was an invitation to his home.
Wow.
And he devoted the entire day to the visit.
Wow. Wow. That's all he can say is wow. That must have been incredible, man.
I got to work with
him. Well, he was very gracious, very generous, and he certainly didn't have to do it. And I certainly was not going to provide him with any more fame, but it was part of his job too to talk to,
sure.
to be relevant and you know, to talk to the press, especially a big voice like that.
Yeah, wow.
I was lucky. I got to work with him on Rio Lobo and had a couple of nice experiences. And I'll tell you what, this guy was a hero. He was like bigger than life to me growing up, and then to work with him. And then to have some experiences with him, that's fantastic.
Todd, get in there.
So, Brian, you're in Chicago all this time. You decide, I'm going to move out to Winterset, Iowa. And although I'm sure many of your family members fell on the floor, like, how could you leave us? And you get out there, and you go to the museum, and what strikes you strongest first? What was it that you just couldn't believe that this is where John Wayne was born and raised until he was 4 or 5 years old? What was that? What was it?
Well, first of all, I was not looking for a move. I was extremely happy in Chicago with my work and the challenges that went with that. But in 2007, Winterset hosted a John Wayne centennial birthday celebration. And in those days, just for fun, I had a traveling Wild West show, which played halftime often in Michael Martin Murphy's concerts.
Cool.
He liked what we did, and he loved Buffalo Bill, and as did I. And I just offered the show to John Wayne's celebration, and they took it. They accepted it, and we did shows with Murphy, and Riders in the Sky were part of our show. Mm. And it was just so much fun. And then it was, I don't think it was 2 months later, the John Wayne Birthplace Organization was looking for an executive director. And I recommended a lot of people who I thought would be perfect for it, but they insisted on me. they said, we're looking for, and it wasn't, I said, no museum experience, no fundraising experience, but something like that you just learn.
Sure.
But to get back to your question, I accepted the job gleefully. And first time I visited Winterset, I pulled up. It was dead of winter, close to midnight, and I saw the courthouse square, and it looked like a scene out of the Music Man movie.
Wow.
It was just so perfect.
How cool.
We had a courthouse that was here when Buffalo Bill and Jesse James and Wild Bill Hickok and General Custer were still alive.
Wow.
So that's the antiquity of our town.
How cool.
Welcome to River City.
Movie theater. It's just perfect, and it wasn't, I'm not saying it's, a writer once said, the perfect cradle for John Wayne.
Yeah.
A perfect launching pad for that incredible life.
So he lived there until he was, like, what, 4 years old, 5 years old?
Yeah, right in there. We have to remember the family was not especially noteworthy.
Mm-hmm.
They lived all over Iowa and just happened to be living here when their first son, Marion Robert Morrison, was born. But they say this was kind of one of their stops, but they lived in towns all over Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Always seeking a better life, like people did.
Yeah, especially back then.
Yeah, for sure.
Moving into the Depression and everything.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, Brian, you leave Chicago where there are Chicago dogs.
Yeah.
You live in Winterset, Iowa, and there are no Chicago dogs.
Or Brian, Italian beef, or deep dish pizza, a lot of those things.
Oh, my God.
But there's
I just threw my back out. I just threw my back out, Brian, hearing that description.
Well, there's still...
I'm in pain right now.
And it's sad, and it's changing. It's changing for the better every year. We get adventurous restaurant owners and operators and developers, and we are improving a lot.
But you still have baseball there.
We still, yes, we do. But the town is just so picturesque; it doesn't seem real. It's like in a movie. Huh. You know,
well, I hope that the big corporation chain things don't come in there too heavily, because when they do that, they change the look of a town. It's the hometown businesses that make a town.
Yeah. Absolutely. I say in a hometown movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Early in his career, John Wayne would write to the Iowa Theater urging his fellow townsmen to go visit, to go to the theater and see his movie. Mm-hmm. We had two or three letters from him. And that was how things were done in the old days, the studios to promote a movie.
Yeah. So how many items would you estimate you have at the Birthplace Museum?
That's a question we've never been asked. I have a file on what's in there, but I never actually counted.
Uh-huh.
But it's 10,400 square feet, and it includes John Wayne's automobile, his personal station wagon. It includes sculpture. It includes countless movie posters, movie contracts, movie wardrobe. Just about anything you could expect out of a first-class Hollywood museum.
Hmm.
Our latest acquisition was the Irish horse cart from The Quiet Man, which was in the movie from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
The bulk of our collection, everything that's under glass, came from our board president, Joe Zuchtswurz, who's been collecting for maybe 45 years.
Hmm.
And his collection was so noteworthy that he said when the museum was built, he'd send his collection out here, and that's what happened.
You know, I've got to confess that the part of the museum that most I want to see the most, I want to see the outhouse. And I hope.
Well, you've done some research. How do you know about that?
Yeah. It's the history, and you know it tells you just exactly how old the house is. But you know, outhouses are, you know, there's a whole society out there that's into outhouses.
Well, we never promote the outhouse, and that's the first time I've been asked that question.
Well, maybe you should. You might just double the attendance.
Open it up to the tourists.
But people might start using it.
Yeah, right.
Well, they'd bring their own corn cobs.
Brian, to be fair, you should realize that Bunker's been thrown out of many outhouses. Many.
Some of the best outhouses on movie sets, you betcha.
Yeah. Yeah, and characteristically, his favorite line is when he's getting thrown out is, "I've been thrown out of many dumps better than this." So,
okay.
Goodbye and good luck.
Yeah, right.
Hey, you know, the worst thing, this is how you tell the quality of an outhouse. If the corn cobs are smooth and comfortable grave. If they're hard, you don't want to ever go back there.
Oh, okay. Bad place. And now on
Ours is locked to make sure nobody uses it.
Oh, that's awful.
Thank you.
And now for something completely different, I wanted to find out more about Duke's station wagon. The roof was raised 6 inches so he could drive with his cowboy hat on. What kind of a station wagon did he have?
Cowboy hat. People say a cowboy hat. I think that I don't buy that. I think it's because he was a large man and his height came not from his legs, but from his upper body.
Sure.
And it was just, this was the days before SUVs and all, and it's not a movie star car at all. It was made for comfort.
Yeah.
As far as the cowboy hat goes, he didn't drive around town.
He didn't wear the cowboy hat except on movies anyway.
Right. Right.
So, what kind of car was it, or is it?
A 1972 Pontiac Grand Safari station wagon.
Nice.
It seats about 9 people if they're not large.
And
people.
An orchestra as well.
Well, you can put all of these kids in there.
It's a land yacht, man.
That's land yacht. Well said. And it was one of three. He had three customized for his to make it personally comfortable. It was a practical family car.
Sure, yeah, of course. All right, we're going to take our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Todd Roberts. We're talking with Brian Downs, Executive Director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum in Winterset, Iowa. Plan a vacation to visit. We'll be right back after these messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms. But you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away, it'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, 5-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
Slap some bacon on a biscuit and let's go! We're burning daylight!
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's The Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, some Bill Boyd there, and his cowboys, and we're talking with Brian Downs. He's the executive director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum in Winterset, Iowa, and I'm reading through this article True West Magazine did on you, Brian, and talking about all the collections and so forth and so forth. Todd and I have a friend, late friend, who collected all kinds of stuff like that. He had, what did Joe have, Todd? The
He had John Wayne's tunic and kepi from Fort Apache. He had John Wayne's red bib front shirt from it was either Liberty Valance or it was
one of the later films.
Yeah.
It could have been the Searchers. It was a red bib front. He also had several Kentucky rifles. He had them from the Alamo, and he also had them from the Fighting Kentuckian. He had his buckskin outfit and coonskin cap from the Alamo, and he had real authentic Bowie knives of the period from the 1830s and 1840s from Texas that were carbon dated. Those Bowie knives went to the Alamo Museum, where the Phil Collins collection is, that is probably the greatest Alamo collection around. He even had all five uniforms, one of each of the five different units of the Mexican Santa Ana's Mexican Army at the Alamo. He had real uniforms. His collection was a little amazing, and he had an upstairs bedroom, which was basically a bar with swinging saloon doors.
Oh, it was great.
And he had a lion's head in there, and he had two tables. At one table, it was empty. The other table, he had Jim Bowie and John Wayne models playing cards from the Alamo in Alamo outfits.
Yeah.
It was the ultimate. It was the ultimate treehouse for any fella who likes John Wayne. Absolutely.
And where did he live?
Absolutely.
In Los Angeles.
He lived basically in what you would call L.A., Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
in the San Fernando Valley. And he was just a very unique guy. He was recognized as one of the top experts on the Alamo, one of the top experts on Jim Bowie, Bowie knives, Alamo expert, and also Waterloo expert.
He worked for a number of studios. As an art director, and was an artist, in fact, and lots of most excellent paintings. But that's where he got most of the memorabilia.
You know, speaking of the Alamo, Brian, tell us how you guys got the cannon from the Alamo.
Ooh,
for the museum.
Nice.
I don't know the full background on that one. We were having a board meeting one time, and someone said, wouldn't it be fun to have a cannon from the Alamo? Well, John Farkas book had some interesting information in there. Said there were 40 of them. They're Napoleonic-era cannons, and they didn't exist. There weren't 40 cannons to be used, so they were actually wagon wheels with a turning lathe kind of contraption, mm-hmm. that carved replicas of the barrels. There's a steel tube inside of it that would be filled with bottle rockets, and the sound would be added later. But there's one scene where there a whole row of cannons are going off one after another.
Wow.
And it's one of those things that we can't say the cannon from the Alamo. We'd say a cannon from the Alamo.
Mm-hmm. That would be so neat. The wording is right. One that was up on the wall that the defenders.
Yeah, and we can't say that.
Yeah, then
we don't know.
The Napoleonic cannon, those would have been brass, because that's how they were made.
A lot of them blew up.
Yeah, and a lot of. Well, now there's still some survivors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, ours is wooden, painted black, and it looks great.
I play with cannons a lot. I have my own.
A couple of them.
So, yeah, fun stuff, man. I love black powder.
I know this is kind of getting off topic in a sense, but back in May, you had Barry Corbin there. And, I did a show
just
with him.
Just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I did a show with him here on the radio a couple last year. And
much fun.
Isn't he? You got any good stories about him? Because I'd love to hear them.
Well, no, I first met him back in one of my early newspaper stories was on Will Rogers. I did a travel log on the Will Rogers Museum, And they were very pleased with it, so I got my one only award. It was the Will Rogers Communicator of the Year Award, and Barry Corbin was the presenter in a nice ceremony down there, and he was just a real common fella, so easy to be with, absolutely no airs about him. He's a working actor. I don't know. I think he might be. I cannot name another character actor working today. In days gone by, there were so many of them, but nobody else comes to mind except for Barry Corbin.
Yeah, he's the one stands out, and you know he is such a hoot. Yeah, he's just down. He's country boy down home, and he's also a hell of a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's how he opened his show, An Evening with Barry Corbin. Everybody's kind of looking at each other, what's going on here? No introduction, no nothing. He just went into Shakespeare.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think that's what people bought tickets for. So, but that was a great way to open the show.
Oh, cool. That's great. Oh, cool. That's what I wanted to hear. Yeah.
What is the average number of visitors you have to the museum? And is it a seasonal thing, or is it year-round?
Well, summer, we're open year-round, but summertime and spring, summer, and fall are absolutely the best. Mm-hmm. We're averaging around 30,000 visitors a year.
Wow.
That's thinking we get what we call drive-bys. We get people coming off hours and take pictures with the statue and take pictures with the home. And that would be too hard to count, but we have a guest book, and they're averaging very close to 30,000 a year.
Oh, cool. That is excellent.
Hey, tell us something about your Wild West show.
That's interesting.
We don't hear a lot about those things.
Well, I always, since I'm a little kid, I loved the character of Buffalo Bill, and I got acquainted with him, and that was another subject. Got acquainted with his story, and I just can never tire of it. So I was with a circus event in Milwaukee for many years, and they asked me if I could get up a Wild West show because of my passion for it. So it meant recruiting stagecoaches and trick riders and Indians and sharpshooters and a brass band, and did that. Well, Michael Murphy was part of our show one year, and we kind of took it on the road to stops around the Midwest, and it was just so much fun.
Yeah.
And if I had my wish, I'd be doing it now full time, but no Wild West show in history ever lasted more than a couple of decades, so I'd probably be broke by now.
Unfortunately.
And you know, so many of the Hollywood B cowboy stars, they had their own Wild West shows. Mix, and Buck Jones.
And Tim McCoy.
Tim McCoy, Tom Mix. Yeah, it was common. And they would also lend their names to a circus, just, you know, for the celebrity factor.
Mm-hmm.
But it was I love when, I think John Lennon said one time of the Beatles, he said, before Elvis, there was nothing. And the same can be said as Buffalo about Buffalo Bill. Before Buffalo Bill, the West was not entertainment. Yeah. It was nothing.
Hmm. First superstar.
And he
superstar.
Took it literally around the world.
First superstar.
I would love to know if Buffalo Bill played Des Moines, Iowa, and I would love to know if John Wayne's parents took him to see the show when it played here. It would be one of those wonderful things to think of, because, you know, Buffalo Bill was still performing another 10 years after Duke was born, so it's certainly a possibility, but there's no evidence of that.
There's a number of images on YouTube, moving images, pictures, of some of his Wild West shows. I think most of them are from the Pennsylvania area.
Well, there's a couple out there that are, I can't remember where the, oh, there's the other. There's a couple of out there of showing some of the arena action.
Yeah.
And there's one showing the grand entrance.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that shows him with the parade that when they're coming to town to promote the show.
It
makes him more real when you can see those
films. For sure. No question about that. Man,
people ask me frequently, how long is John Wayne going to last? How long is he going to be popular? And I always point to Buffalo Bill Cody, who died in 1917. If you go to his museum in Wyoming in the summertime, you can hardly move in there.
Yeah.
And it's 7 acres under one roof, so...
I think as long as...
So there's a handful of icons out there that aren't going anywhere.
Kit Carson is another one. Kit Carson's another, and he had a ranch just north of Tucson up in Oracle, Arizona. And Todd's girlfriend is a relation to Kit Carson.
Yes, her father's name is Kit Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah, her dad's name is Kid Carson.
Yeah,
and he was Buffalo Bill's hero.
Yeah,
young Cody and well, yeah. Bell is by
that's
Carson.
Right,
man. Icons of the American West.
Who we are.
Yeah. Hey, icons of the American of the American West, and I've yet to see one dethroned. I don't know. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
As long as there's a free America, I think we'll have you know, the John Waynes, the Tom Mixes, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, William S. Hart. Yeah. You know,
he'll
come
always
on.
Always be with us.
Good stuff. Good
well,
stuff.
Tell us about that statue out in front, the 7.5 foot, which is almost.
Yes,
almost
it was a gift from the John Wayne family on the occasion of John Wayne's centennial birthday in 2007. Ethan Wayne was out here. Well, we had 30 Wayne family members, and it was unveiled on that time, and we didn't have anywhere to put it. It was in a little gift shop for a time, and then we had it outside on a pedestal. Then it had to be moved to make way for the museum, and now it's our number one focus right now when people visit the museum.
Mm-hmm. I bet everybody
it's
stops and gets a picture.
See.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And you know what's so neat about that statue? When they stand there in front of it, it looks like he's looking down on you.
Uh-huh.
Well, everybody wants that. Rick Perry, governor of Texas, was running for president because Iowa was extremely important in the selection process, and most of the candidates stopped by. He jumped out of his SUV, had his picture taken, jumped right back in. I said, well, I felt like we were had. He had no interest in the museum to have his picture.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, this is what I thought was real impressive. Two presidents have visited. Ronald Reagan once, Donald Trump twice.
And Jimmy Carter.
I didn't know
Jimmy Carter.
No, that was a mistake in the True West article.
Okay.
Carter was never here.
Okay.
But Reagan in 1984 and Trump in 2015 and 16.
And he'll be back again.
Well, everybody's welcome. Nobody can miss. Everybody wants that John Wayne Association.
Yeah, for sure.
Newt Gingrich has been here. Rick Santorum. They want to be associated with John Wayne, and rightfully so.
Hey, if you haven't visited a museum, you shouldn't run for president.
There you go. All right, we're going to do...
That's kind of my thought.
There you go. We're going to do our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is Brian Downs, Executive Director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum in Winterset, Iowa. Book a vacation there. You will be very happy with your results.
I'll show you around.
We'll be right back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year we become more and more properly. You're just one click or one email away from losing data. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of protect you from disaster. Online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services. Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
I never shot nobody. I didn't have to.
This is the Voices of the West.
We're back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is Brian Downs. He's the executive director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum And Brian, I have to play that High Chaparral tune there. One of the greatest Western movie or Western television show themes, I think. But DeFrance over here worked 50-plus episodes of the High Chaparral, and so he walks if I don't play it. So that's maybe right. Your High Chaparral Museum might be in order.
Yeah.
That'll be up to you guys. We've got our work cut out for us right here.
I bet you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the museum, as I understand, it's divided into three sections. Maybe you could tell us about the three sections and the importance that they play in the story.
Well, I want to stress that the divisions are general. They're not hard and fast, but the original gallery is John Wayne, the movie star, and his history is broken up by decades, beginning in the 30s and right up to the 70s. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll find most of the movie wardrobe in that section, and posters, and our firearms collection. Unfortunately, we do not have a single John Wayne firearm, but we have the America Remembers complete set of John Wayne tribute guns, which mm-hmm. are quite beautiful. We have a selection of the movie mugs that Wayne would have. He'd commission for each picture. He'd have a movie mug for absolutely everybody who worked on a picture. We have a representation of Monument Valley. We have World War II era, World War II Green Berets, that era represented. We even have an Andy Warhol print in his selection, and Andy Warhol got in little trouble for not getting permission from the family, so they worked it out, and we have one of those, mm-hmm. hand-signed. But everybody has different ideas of what art is. I want to stress we have a big selection of foreign movie posters, and the foreign posters are without a doubt more dramatic and eye-catching than the American posters.
Beautiful.
In many instances.
Imagine that.
And, well, so that just tells the story of his reach, you know, his international reach.
Yeah. You've got the hat from Rio Bravo, the jacket from True Grit, Calvary pieces from She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. You got anything, any clothes from his personal life, like a sea cap or something from the Spruce Goose?
One fellow came in, I'm glad you asked that question, one fellow came in, kind of a broken down fellow, and I hate to put it that way, but he was an old stuntman. He had trouble walking, standing, and he gave us a plastic grocery bag, and he said, "This is John Wayne's fishing hat from the Wild Goose."
Cool.
And I said, "Oh, that's nice," and before we had the museum, and they put it in a drawer, couldn't, you know, how are you going to prove that, so... When Mr. Wayne's daughter, Aisa Wayne, was in town, I showed it to her. I said, "Can you identify this?" And she said, "Well, that's my dad's hat from the Wild Goose. That's his fishing hat." Hmm. So right into the exhibit case it went.
Cool. What a great story.
We don't need more than that.
What a great story.
How do you authenticate? Do you have to go to the family to authenticate items that you receive these days?
Well, I'll give you a very good example on a movie contract. The car, of course, has a serial number. For 10 years, we've been displaying the horse cart, the Irish horse cart from The Quiet Man. And since we've had it, the movie came out in Blu-ray, and you can freeze frame it and match things up. Well, it came from the Maureen O'Hara estate, so a lot of times that's all you need. Mm-hmm. But the actors really didn't know that much about it. It was their work. They didn't pay that much attention to every little detail. Their clothes were rented. The guns were rented. And you ask them what's their favorite movie, they always said the next one. But the horse cart matches up so perfectly, and it was in the movie from start to finish. So you can zoom in on the picture, and there's little flaws, or maybe a crack that was a baby crack in the movie that's wider now with age, pinstriping. So there's, and when anybody disputes anything, I will say, truthfully, I said $1,000 to you today, if you can prove that this is not a real artifact.
And
that actually stops the...
And a lot of stuff...
That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of stuff from the, you know, in the prop departments, they would number it in some obscure place, and sometimes you can trace it back through that number to the, you know, to the exact, you know, creation.
Mm-hmm. Todd, get in there.
Well, you know, just listening to Brian and his details, it's pretty overwhelming, the facts that he has at his disposal based on his memory, because I have a feeling he's got an Italian beef sandwich in one hand and a Chicago dog in the other. So, but, you know, what is the most surprising thing that guests, you know, visitors to the museum say, oh, my God, I never knew that about John Wayne? What might that be, Brian?
Everybody has a different opinion, but for me, the most personal thing that I didn't know even existed is John Wayne's Daily Planner. And the owner of the collection, our board president, Joe, said, where were you on May 18th, 1977? And I thought, well, I don't know. That was another lifetime ago. And he pulled out the Daily Planner, and there's my name in the book. And I go, wow, I had no idea this date book existed. Just a regular Daily Planner. Without the internet in those days, you know, yeah. You just have a little book, open up, and write your appointments in there.
God, that is so neat.
It was basically an appointment book, and I was just stunned to see my name in there. We had a writer came in one time. His favorite movie was The Cowboys, so we have a saddle from The Cowboys. That's what he focused on. Everybody's has different favorites for different reasons.
Well, I've got a question for you then. You know,
yes, sir.
When he was working on the movie, he chewed tobacco. Now, do you know his favorite chewing tobacco?
Oh, I want to say beech nut, but I can't swear to that. Red Man, okay. It's in the cobwebs of my brain. Yeah. Red Man, all right.
He used to mooch it off of me. That's how I know.
And if he didn't have that, he'd probably mooch something else.
Oh, you know, this is the funny thing, is they had on the prop truck, they would have a box full of beech nut, and Jerry Gatlin, the stunt coordinator, he would always mooch off of Jerry. And one day Jerry ran out and he sicked him on me. And what a blessing to have John Wayne come up and say, hey kid, you gotta chew.
That's funny.
And that was after his cigarettes. He had that tobacco craving.
Yep.
Then cigars for a while. Then it was just that craving since he was a teenager. That tobacco craving.
Mm-hmm. It'll get you.
Yeah, it does. A lot of us do. A lot of us did have that craving.
I want to know something. This is going to get a little more personal now. I want to know about some of your staff there, especially from what her contribution to the museum. Kimber Corwin.
How do you know Kimber Corwin?
I am sneakier than a back shooter.
Well, Kimber Corwin is our current manager of the gift shop makes a special point of hiring people of all ages, mostly women, some retired, but a lot of high school kids. And I think that's excellent when visitors come, that they just don't see gray heads like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kimber Corwin is a high schooler. She's a champion swimmer, and she's very outgoing and very funny. And I needed somebody I could count on for our event this year, somebody that would show up and help me set up the auction items. And we had a long list of things to do to get ready for our program. And she said, I'll do it. And there she was before the sun came up. She was there right on time and didn't leave till the job was all done that evening.
Stamina.
But she's going to... you're not going to tell me how you know about her.
Hey, if I was...
She was a hoot.
She's cute.
She's so much fun.
Yeah, good. Good.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, don't forget, Brian, Bunker was in the Navy, so he's part swabby, and then he's also part stuntman. So the combination of the two makes him a little wily.
Well,
did you say swabby or
swabby? I don't know what to
say about that. I think you said swabby.
Had we had her on the show, it would have been more entertaining than me. Just young people are so important to me as I move along in life. Young people become increasingly important to me. It's something you don't appreciate when you're young yourself. And some of them are just absolute superstars, and it tells me that our world is in good hands, the future
right.
is in good hands.
Right.
You know, despite the negative aspects of it, there's some really bright, bright people out there.
Well, Harry keeps kind of referring back to the tourist segment of Winterset, and it's also the covered wagon capital of Iowa.
Is it really?
Covered bridge.
Covered busted bridge. I said wrong wagon. Yeah, bridge.
The Clint Eastwood movie was made here, and the bridges were popular before that. And a novelist came and made up the story, and Clint Eastwood bought it. And the tourist traffic was just incredible for a long period, and it still is.
And you get a lot of artists there that go there just to paint the bridges.
Yes, we do. And we got people who like to get married there. Smithsonian Magazine just this week announced that Winterset, Iowa is among the top 15 towns in America.
Hmm.
And we were just stunned for that designation. And I had to look it up. How many towns are there in America? And Wikipedia says 16,000. I said, so to be in the top 15 of 16,000?
Mm-hmm.
I just love to know the backstory on that, but we're very happy. Yeah. That was a great designation. Hmm. That's a prestigious magazine.
Well, I'm glad that you're there, because I also understand that the Spam Museum is not that far away. And you guys have to be competing with them for that.
Well, it's another state. I think it's up near Minneapolis.
Okay, so it doesn't count.
It's not too close. It's outside of three. I bet it's more than 3 hours. Oh. Never having been there, I just don't know.
Hey, you're probably not missing much. So, did you ever give Red Steagall a personal tour of the museum?
I did, and Red is my absolute hands-down hero.
Yeah.
And he's been here two or three times. He brought his television show here.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him from my newspaper days, and mm-hmm. he's my personal John Wayne these days. He's just somebody I admire so much.
We had him
he's
on the show.
My home.
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple months ago, I think.
Yeah,
and
gracious.
Well, what a great guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I call him the father of our country, the Western country.
Yeah, and he's at the end of every True West magazine, there's his little page.
Yep.
That'll be Cowboys and Indians.
Oh, is it Cowboys? I'll get them both, so I don't
know. Yeah, he's in the last couple pages. And he does his TV show. He came up here and asked me to advise him on what other attractions do we have here. I said, well, the first thing that comes to mind is the Jesse James Museum right down the road from here, about 2 hours.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
In Omaha. See, we're west of the Mississippi, and most people don't think of us as the West, but in frontier days, we certainly were.
Well, certainly, yes.
So my take is that the West started at Jamestown.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. And it's a state of mind. You can't define it. There is no geographical definition.
Have you reached your goal for the Memorial Matching Challenge?
How do you know all these things? John Wynn was a member of Sigma Chi fraternity, and it was a huge part of his life. His Sigma Chi brothers were best men at his wedding, and he was active till almost the very end of his life with Sigma Chi. And a fellow from Mount Air, Jim Shields, was at Sigma Chi, and he's an Iowa man, and he just wanted Sigma Chi to be honored at our museum. So they started a campaign for $250,000, which is going to give them naming rights to our plaza. And they're very, very close, but we never like to say exactly what, because we don't want to discourage giving.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But this is being done totally separate from me. They took over this campaign on their own.
Cool.
But,
I'm glad that they're doing it.
That's most excellent. All right, I'm still
trying to figure out how you knew who Kimber Corwin is.
Well, wait, I got another one for you. When we come back, we want to know about Carly Farr.
Oh, my goodness.
Carly Farr, your voice of the museum and face. She's passed now, I believe.
Oh, Carolyn Farr.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolyn passed away, I want to say 5 years ago. She was here when I started, and she was involved with running the operation, the tours and the gift shop and staffing and personnel. And I was, for the most part, involved in fundraising. And that was so. I came here with dark curly hair, and it's not that way anymore, but we got it done.
All right, we need to do our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's right. Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. We're at the Eastside Ranch in Tucson right now. And our guest is Brian Downs, Executive Director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum. More to come after these important messages. Do not run away.
Here
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's
777-1911. Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats. But did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
Get them all?
Didn't miss a one. Held this fella for your cap and sweated him. Admits he rode the Buckhorn Trail.
So you used to ride the Buckhorn Trail, eh?
What of it?
You know who trail jumped the Wyatt family?
What's it worth to you?
Well, plenty if you know.
Just how much?
Your life.
I ain't telling.
This is the Voices of the West.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France. We're at the Eastside Ranch today. Todd Roberts in Los Angeles. Our guest is Brian Downs. He's the executive director of the John Wayne Birthplace Museum and Knuckles O'Toole tickling the ivories there.
Oh, Knuckles himself.
As you may have noticed throughout the program, I have done a number of John Wayne drops.
Yes, as we should.
As we should before coming in. That last one was from, I can't remember the movie, but it was John and Yak, and that was the setup. Glenn Strange brings him in.
Yeah. Can't go wrong on those old Lone Pine Westerns.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of those, Brian, tell us about the theater there and the seats that are in the theater.
Ooh.
Now, we're talking about our museum theater.
Right.
And on our square, we have the vintage, well over 100-year-old Iowa theater, movie theater. Mm. And it was on the verge of closing, like a lot, like the last picture show, going out of business. So we thought we'd recreate a small version of it inside our museum. We copied their marquee. Of course, then the theater was rescued through a great fundraising effort, the theater on the square. So now we have two Iowa theaters. And the one in our museum is very small. It kind of has the look of a 1920s or 30s theater. And just so happened, the day that we were looking for seats for our theater, it turned out that Grauman's Chinese Theater was doing some rearranging, and they had leftover seats, and they were selling them.
Wow.
So we bought them. We bought two dozen of them for $250 a piece. Then we sold them to fans for $500 a piece, meaning that they could put a plaque mm-hmm. with their name on there
right.
in our theater. And we play a 10-minute movie in there, a documentary from the Jules Verne Adventures Organization in Los Angeles, did a one-night John Wayne tribute, and they created this 10-minute-long documentary, or it's actually a rapid-fire John Wayne scenes in the movies, the careers.
Mm-hmm.
It's introduced by his daughter, Aisa Wayne, and it gives people a great overview for young people who come in and maybe not know exactly who John Wayne is. They certainly know his character after this film.
And you know what's neat?
It's a great, cozy little theater.
You know, what's neat, too, is you can tell people, you know, in the Grauman's Chinese Theater, there were many premieres, and you might very good chance you're sitting in a seat that a star sat in.
Yep.
Or there's a chance John Wayne sat in one of those.
There
seats.
You go.
All
certainly
of
not,
those seats. He,
not
he
provable, but his movies premiered there.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Big Trail premiered there, True Grit, and many others.
Wow. All right, time for some shameless promotion, Brian. What's coming up at the museum that you'd like to get out?
Well, I wish we were talking a month ago because we had our annual John Wayne birthday celebration
with
Barry Corbin, Riders in the Sky. And we always feature some legendary performers over the years. Michael Martin Murphy's been here, Marty Stewart, Riders in the Sky for more than once, Mo Bandy, entertainers of that stripe.
Nice.
And
cool.
People know it. It's first-rate Nashville entertainment,
mm-hmm.
Which our fans tend to prefer. We've not had a lot of rock and roll shows here. I don't know.
Probably not.
Lined
up
for next
year?
We do. No, we don't know. We just put this one to bed.
Oh, okay.
But it will be in the vein. We have a real nice path. And we have a movie event, or we have a celebrity speaking at our Iowa theater in town. Then there's always a John Wayne movie on the big screen, and a dinner and auction on Saturday night, and museum tours. So it's an annual event that people literally come from other countries to visit.
All right, now we're going to put you on the spot. Brian, your favorite Western movie or television program, and or television program?
I get one. Just one?
No, you can do television program as well.
Yeah, Brian, being that you're with the John Wayne Museum, you get to break the rules. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Number one on television, hands down, number one, Lonesome Dove, if that counts
there
as television.
There you go. Yep, yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Nobody could touch that. Nobody's
right.
ever presented that story so well. And feature film, John Wayne, True Grit.
Ah. Good choice.
Okay.
Did you see the second one that was made, the second True Grit?
With Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
I saw it and I loved it. And a lot of diehard John Wayne fans objected to it.
I know.
We have to remember the Robin Hood story gets remade every 25 years or
what,
so. You know,
they're standalone movies. You can't compare them.
The character interpretation was excellent in both of them. My wife, when she was in junior high, skipped school, and she and her girlfriend went to see True Grit, where it was premiered at a Tucson theater, and they watched it 6 times, I think. Yeah.
Is this the original?
The original.
And, you know, one of the greatest one of the greatest scenes ever filmed is the writ written for a rap.
Yeah.
That is priceless.
No, I think that the second movie had an awful lot of authenticity and realism. It felt like it. but a totally lacking in heroics.
Yeah.
Of the first. No, right. The orchestra and all, but I loved them both. I felt like I was there in both of them.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, Brian, we're plumb out of time.
Since you only gave me a television, this has been a blast. I really enjoyed that.
We had a blast with you, man.
Thank you.
And welcome back anytime. And if we can help promote whatever might be happening over at the John Wayne Birthplace Museum, let us know, man.
Yeah, we'll shamelessly plug you.
We will. We really will. next time,
we are at your service and grateful.
Thank you so much. Next time we get together
thank
here
you, Brian.
On Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, we have Phil Schreier with us, and that'll be another good one, so stay tuned.
78, 79, 80 O's, and if you don't go visit the John Wayne Birthright Museum, we're going to hunt you down.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.